What's good, everybody, and welcome to Body Bag Podcast. I'm Chris Thomas, and with me, as always, Broke Writer Dave.
How we doing, everybody?
And now that the show is officially passed, I can go ahead and say Dave has not even wished me a happy birthday or anything, so that's okay. We've been doing this for a while, but
Wait, your birthday passed?
it was yesterday.
Jesus Christ.
But you know what? It's okay.
Happy belated birthday. Yeah.
I spent the day alone, it's okay.
Oh, I feel like shit.
Not as
This
shitty
is
as I
what.
felt. No, I'm just
Yeah,
kidding. I'm
this
just
is what
joking,
I
dude.
get for relying on the Facebook notifications to remind me of birthdays.
And this is what I get for putting my heart on the line and letting it get
Yeah.
hurt again.
I'm sorry, bro.
Literally, my birthday is my least favorite day out of the entire year anyway. I honestly
Yeah.
prefer it to just kind of come and go.
Yeah.
But yes, it's one day after, but yes, thank you for happy belated. But this is a present in and of itself because I get to record.
Yeah.
I enjoy our recordings.
Yes. And we got some movies to talk about.
Yeah, and so for while I guess I was a kid, I was off watching Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island and maybe Halloween Town, Under Wraps and what have you. Dave was watching Valentine.
Straight up slasher movies.
Straight up slasher. A good slasher? Well, we'll see. We'll
Yeah.
get to it,
We'll get
but
there. Yeah.
we'll get to that. But let's get to some homework.
Yes.
I'll go ahead and kick it off if you don't mind.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Because this was an overdue one.
Yeah.
This portion of the show goes out to Spencer Hamilton.
Yeah.
Because way back in season one, we were supposed to record Black
It
Phone.
wasn't season one. It was about season three, I think.
I could have sworn it was season two. No, it would have been season two or three because Spencer Hamilton's first one was The Mist.
Yeah, he came on season one. Yeah.
All right, but
Yeah,
this was one.
life got in the way. Yeah.
But this was one that we, for one reason or another, we had to postpone. And I think it also fell around the same time where I was moving. So I just never got around to it. So you gave me the black phone to finish. But I'll still say it still goes out to Spencer Hamilton. It was
Yeah, I
cool
haven't
because.
watched it since we were supposed to record that episode.
And yeah, I haven't seen it since I saw half of it because I had watched half of it and then stopped watching. So it was good to get a little refresher. I guess a little one sentence sum up is that there's a child kidnapper murderer on the loose in Colorado in the 1970s, and this young man named
Yeah.
Finn, people call him Finn, is one of these kids, and he gets abducted. And he's put in a basement with this mysterious black rotary phone that keeps ringing, even though it's a not real functioning telephone.
Yeah.
I was getting some vibes. Automatically, I was thinking of summer of 1980. Was it 1985?
Think 84, summer of 84.
Summer of '84. That whole setting of, I guess it
Yeah.
was just in the, really big in the '70s and '80s, child abductors.
Yeah.
At least they were popular. Headlines wise, anyway. So we are following this kid named Finney, alcoholic father. I wouldn't say he's necessarily a nerd or anything like that, but he gets picked on in school.
Yeah.
He's not a nerd, but he's kind of in the middle, but he's kind of amongst the kids that get bullied in school.
Yeah.
But he befriends. He has some other friends though. He easily makes friends.
Yeah.
One was a baseball little leaguer, and another one was just kind of like this. What? I guess the kid was Hispanic,
Yeah.
because they were calling him like racial slurs. But he himself is a very shy kid. He doesn't really stick up for himself much.
Yeah.
He has a little sister who, well, she has a thing. Well, they both do. We'll come to find out later. Inherited something from their mother.
Yeah.
So, throughout the movie, we see glimpses of like these kids in Finn's life. For one reason or another, they'll just like. Section themselves off, and you just that you they'll never you never hear from them again. They're like one of them gets picked up while riding a bike somewhere, another one is walking home, and you don't see how they get abducted. I love how they do
See
this.
him.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you just see this van coming blurred in the background, and then it fades. I love that.
Yeah. So what, very well shot movie.
Yes, very, very well shot movie. Finn gets got though. He falls for the old. Hey kid, I'm a magician. You want to see a trick gag? Which it's not funny, but
So
it's.
old magician,
But
yeah.
that's no magician. That's Ethan Hawke acting weird. Ethan Hawke plays
Yeah.
the serial kidnapper, which the town has called the Grabber. Which I gotta say, I
Yeah.
love his mask.
What do you think about Ethan Hawke's performance in this movie?
I like Ethan Hawke, but in all honesty, honestly, I mean, I like his performance, but when I see it, I don't necessarily. I think anybody could have played it. I think any number of actors could have played that role, but I think he plays it very well.
Okay.
If that
All
makes
right.
sense. It's
Yeah.
like it's kind of like with Hannibal Lecter. I can't see anybody other than like Anthony Hopkins playing Hannibal Lecter. For this one, I could think of a few actors I could see who could play that part, but
Yeah.
not saying he doesn't play it well. He plays it very well. I'm sitting here trying to, as if Ethan Hawke is listening right now. I liked your performance, Mr. Hawke.
Yeah, we swear we're fans.
You and Luke Wilson.
Yeah, big fans of Luke Wilson on this
I was re-listening to the Soul Survivor episode.
podcast.
He was
Terrible movie. Needs more Luke Wilson.
needs more Luke Wilson. But he gets got. He gets got by the old I'm a magician here, and he gets chloroformed and taken away. He wakes up. Finney's in a basement. Never a good place to wake up.
No.
Ethan Hawke, I'm just gonna call him Ethan Hawke. He's called the Grabber, but Ethan Hawke comes down and he's like, "Yeah, so here's the deal. I soundproofed this place, so you can scream as much as you want. Ain't nobody gonna hear you. I've done this. You here now." Essentially
Yeah.
is what he's saying. You here now. And, oh, and by the way, there's an old telephone right there. Why is there an old rotary phone down there? I don't know. I don't know if there's a reason why they say, but there's an old rotary phone down there. Don't work, but it's down there.
Yeah.
He goes away. We find out after a little bit, because there are certain scenes of this movie has a lot of slow shots, but it's not a slow.
No.
The phone rings, and we.
Ring.
What was that? Oh, was that you ringing?
Yeah.
I was like, what was that noise? Finny! Okay, so essentially, this black phone. Is a hub, not a hub, but it's kind of like a. So I can't for the life of me think of the word I'm looking for, but it allows Finney to speak to the deceased souls of the kids who came before him.
Yeah, speak to the other side.
Speak to the other side. And each of these kids who he talks to on the phone, that you get a little bit of their story and you how they may have interacted with Finney, like when they were alive, as well as. Each of them left something behind in their attempts to escape.
Yeah.
Now, I won't go into every little bit of detail since this movie isn't the one that's up to you, but there was like four or five ghost kids, and they all give him advice, which is my favorite scene of the movie, is when he's talking to these kids, because the way they shoot is that he has the phone and receiver, and you just see the corpse of these kids talking to him, but when they talk, it's through like the landline.
Yeah.
Really, really cool. So one of the ghosts tells him about a spot that's above the window that he could try to get through. Another one tells him about a phone cord that they ripped up and hit somewhere. Another kid tried to burrow through the floor in another spot.
Yeah.
While all of this is going on, his sister is having psychic visions. This is where I can say they inherited something from their mother because their mother, when she was alive, saw things, saw visions,
She had the ESP.
had that ESP, which the father always resented,
Yeah.
which is why he became an alcoholic and beat his kids,
Try to
which
beat the ESP out of them.
beat the ESP out of them. So that explains why he can hear like these ghost kids, and she's getting visions of like snippets of where he's being hidden or where he's
Yeah.
being. Excuse me, kidnap. In all honesty, the mom just had to have ESP so we could have a story.
Yeah.
That way we, in all honesty, it doesn't come in really into play. Like if you'd have just said if you didn't have the mother have ESP, I'd still be on board.
Right.
I'd still be watching this going, oh, I guess he's just it's the other side helping him.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, his sister's out looking for him. I guess the police believe her. Following her leads. They even now you tell me what you thought of this. Here's a big twist of the movie, by the way. The police go and find this one guy and start questioning him. He has like potential leads on who this grabber guy is. Guy's named Max. And he's like, oh, he's like a big devoted fan of this thing. And he's like, oh man, I came up here from so I'm staying with my brother and I think I might have good leads on who the kidnapper might be. See, if you look at the map right here, they were They were picked up here, and he's like, the kind of people that officers don't like.
Yeah.
It's just like, don't tell us how to do our job, kind of guy. Now, here's a big twist. Turns out the place where Finn is being kept is in the basement of that guy,
Yeah.
which they show you that early on, but I just thought it was a fun little editing.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fun little editing thing because you see him and then it goes under his floorboards and then you see Finn under there. I just thought that was an interesting, like, transition.
Yeah.
And then when I was looking up Wiki to make sure I wasn't, like, missing anything, I was like, oh, that's where we were supposed to make that connection?
Yeah.
I don't know. That wasn't apparent to me.
It's like way to be a true crime person, all right?
Yeah.
Kid in your basement.
In your basement. I think I know who the killer is. I would certainly hope so.
Yeah,
Because he's
you're living with them.
you're living with him. Through one escape attempt, Finn actually manages to escape, but is re-caught. He manages to get outside and then gets chased down again.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of like on. He gets one last phone call from, or two phone calls. One of them's from another victim, and another one is from this kid who he befriended
Earlier in the movie, yeah.
earlier in the movie, who basically
And
tells
it's
him to
like,
stick up for himself.
this is the time now you have to fight. I can't protect you anymore. You got to fight this time.
And the other kid is like, yeah, so you tried to escape. Yeah, he coming for you now. So you ain't
Yeah,
got
you're about to
long.
die. Yeah.
You're about to die. So, oh, and I love that each of the ghosts have their own reason for doing what they're doing. This one particular one is like, Finn is like, thank you for helping me. He's like, this ain't about you. I'm doing this 'cause fuck this guy.
Yeah. I don't care about you. I
Don't
still
care
like
about
this.
you. This guy killed me. Fuck this dude. I was like, you know what? I can respect it. So now Max, at one point, he's sitting there just staring at his board. Like, he gets a light bulb in his head, and then he goes down to the basement and sees a kidnapped kid. Of all the things to find in your basement, he finds a kidnapped kid. Big fake out. I mean, nobody here, whoever's watching this knows that this dude's not gonna live. Everybody knows that this is a big fake out, because the second he's like, oh, kid, oh, I found you, Ethan Hawke comes from behind, kills him right there. Which I would say was a shame, but you were pretty useless, dude. Like, I don't know what you were doing here.
Yeah, like how many kids died in that basement while you were there? Come on.
And then Ethan Hawke does his monologue. He's like, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna make it hurt. And Finn stands his ground. And I love the fact that he uses all the things left behind by the ghosts to fuck Ethan Hawke up. Ethan Hawke trips and falls and gets his leg caught and sprained in this little hole thing. He takes the phone receiver that he packed with dirt and, like, starts wailing, beating the shit out of Ethan Hawke, and then taking the phone cord that somebody else ripped out and starts strangling him. And just as he's choking the life out of Ethan Hawke, the phone rings and he's like, they give him a badass 80s line. He's like, it's for you. And it's all the kids saying, yeah, basically, fuck you, dude. Yeah. You dying and we looking at you right now. Ha, fuck you. I love as he's dying. Oh, and his sister found the place where Ethan Hawke was killing all the people, which was like across the street. I guess he lived across the street from his brother. And they're reunited, and then Finn goes back to school the next day with some swag.
Yeah, you survived, man.
And he survives, and he's walking with some, like, sup, everybody?
Got some confidence by himself now.
Yep. Eyeing the local ladies, like, hey, what's going on? Finn's the name.
Yeah.
And
Took out
that
the local serial killer.
took out the local serial killer. Don't know if you heard.
Yeah.
And that was Black Phone. And I'm very, very glad that I got that as homework. I definitely needed to finish it, and it is a genuinely good movie.
Yes. Won't say it was probably my top three for 2022.
I have to re-review what came out that year, but it's up there.
Think it was like for me, X Scream and then Black Phone. Because I still don't watch Pearl.
That came out in 2022.
Yeah.
Was The Menu 2023 or 20?
Oh, well, on Black Phone 4, because yeah, Menu came out at the very end of 2022, and I didn't watch it until like
Had
halfway into
a
2023.
that movie is still gonna be my number one movie of 2022, whatever year that came out.
Yeah, that is the top movie of 2022 right there.
But I'll break it down. I'll say, like, in terms of kills of the movie, we didn't really. Well, I mean, there's plenty of kid murder, but that ending kill with that Ethan Hawke just getting the business. But my favorite shot was just anytime he was talking to the kids, and you just see the kids' corpses talking, but it's with the voice of the rotary phone. Very, very cool shot. So, technicals, I gave this an 8.4. Very, very good shot. They had a lot of quieter scenes, which this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about when I say I like quieter scenes in movies that add tension. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Like, you just see Ethan Hawke, like, up there waiting, like, shirt off, and him trying to sneak. That is great tension building. And I didn't know whether or not I should put this in technicals or story, but I like the fact that a lot of the flashbacks were like VHS tapes. It was kind of like a VHS disoriented style. It was good storytelling because it was just good. Story, I gave 8.3. Very good story. Easy to follow. This is blended a paranormal aspect, which I liked. And anytime you can do that with paranormal, it makes me. This is a paranormal movie that I really like, and that's why in enjoyment I gave it 8.5.
8.5.
8.5, yeah. So very solid movie.
All right, so 25.2 out of 30.
Yeah, solid movie.
It is a really good movie.
And shame that it took me so long to finish it up, but you know how it goes.
Life gets in the way of everything, so I figured I'd just give you that homework to help you out a little bit.
And now, what did I give you?
You gave me The Experiment, which is a movie that's basically, it's based off a German movie called Das Experiment, but it's basically a movie that is, they got the idea from the Stanford Prison Experiment.
Which you said that this was on your list, wasn't it?
It's been on my watch list for a while, so I'm pretty glad I finally got to watch it. So this movie follows a guy named Travis. He was recently laid off, and he meets a girl at an anti-war rally. They start dating, and then she goes to India. So now he needs money to get to India, which leads him to doing this psychological experiment for $14,000.
Seems like
And well,
a decent amount.
yeah, it's a pretty good amount. There he meets this guy named Barris, who's kind of a quiet mannered older man who's doing this just to make some money as well. And after they both get selected, they find out the experiment is they're going to be living a prison life where some people in the experiment are going to be prisoners and the rest are going to be guards. I think it was 26 were selected, 20 prisoners with six guards.
And it's all supposedly like random. Before you finish this up, did you hear about this when you went to school too? Because I remember hearing about this in high school. What it's based off of.
I believe I first heard about the prison experiment in a psychology class.
Do you remember how long they said it like ran for?
I'm not sure.
Think it was like shut down after like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think it was like this. It was supposed to be like 2 weeks, but then it got shut down early.
All right. Just wondering.
So when they're separated, Barris is actually selected to be one of the guards while Travis is a prisoner. And the prisoners have to follow a set of rules, like they must only speak to the guards when spoken to, and they have to eat everything on their trays, things of that nature.
But they
And the
always make sure, but they always like are doing things with the certainty that they are being watched and to make sure things don't get taken too far.
The scientists are like, your safety is our number one priority. And if there's any violence at all, we're immediately going to stop this experiment and no one's going to get paid.
The thing is that this $14,000, which is like just enough to kind of give a shit. Like,
But you got to think, it's $14,000 back in the 70s.
oh, is that? I forgot. Is that when it was? It's the 70s. Oh, yeah.
So it's worth a lot more now.
Like if somebody came up to you with like movie stuff aside and said, "Hey, we'll give you 14 grand to do this like 2 week long prison type experiment with those guidelines, would you do that?"
I mean, yeah, probably.
That's what I meant. Like 14,000 is like just enough to kind of give a shit, really.
Especially like if I like I said, if I we were living in the 70s, I'd jump at it, no problem, no questions asked.
That's what I mean. Like I would jump at the opportunity now. Like so. All right. So that's the ground rule.
And basically, the first incident happens when the prisoners were having their rec time playing basketball, and an older gentleman accidentally hits one of the guards with the ball.
Perfectly
So,
honest mistake.
honest mistake, but the guards are like, well, we need to do something, Mistake or not, one of the guards got hurt, so they tried to make him do push-ups. He was like, well, no. And then him saying no, you're like, you can't defy us, we're the guard, so everyone needs to do push-ups now.
All right,
And
now let me ask you, at what point does it start becoming too far? Because it is supposed to be an experiment of like of us having to follow the rules. Like, all right, you did injure a guard, so do some push-up.
And then the next thing that happened is Travis didn't want to eat everything on his plate because it looked like shit. He's like, yeah, I'm not eating that. And they're like, well, your tray needs to be empty. You got to eat it. He's like, no. They're like, eat it. No. So Travis throws food at him and starts like this giant food fight. And basically, the guards get everyone back in their cells. And that's when they're starting thinking, like, well, Travis is kind of like their leader. And we can't hit him, so we need to humiliate him.
I mean, at a certain point, I kind of get where it's like, this motherfucker is messing with our 14 grand here. Like,
And so what they do is they abduct him in the middle of the night, duct tape him to a chair. They shave his head. And they're like, yeah, I mean, I get it's still not too far until this point where Bears pushes him over. He's laying on the ground. And they all start pissing
yeah. Now, so, like, you can
on
even
him.
go.
That's too far for me.
That's where that's the like you can get the like them get grabbing him in the middle of the night and that time they're like, all right, hazing, so long as they're not like beating him stuff like that, they're like gonna be like, yo, motherfucker, come on, like you gotta.
I mean, for some people, shaving his head might have been too far, but
It was also the 70s, and even they did that even in the army, like back then, hazing, like stuff like that. That's about as bad, like that's less worse than what you would have gotten in the army, more than likely.
But the minute they started all,
Pissing on
it
them,
was
yeah.
five out of six guards that were pissing
Yeah, we can collectively agree. All right, now we're in too far territory.
them. Too far, yeah. But they basically just wanted to break the leader of the prisoners. And at this point, Travis's cellmate, he lied about his diabetes and he needs insulin.
Yeah, so I guess he wouldn't have been able to do the thing if he had diabetes. They wouldn't have let him.
Well, he said he had diabetes, but he could manage it with food. But he lied. He's like, yeah, I thought I'd be able to get my insulin.
I mean, I guess if it was any more serious, then they probably wouldn't let him
Do it,
do the experiment.
So Travis and their third cellmate, so Travis's like, what are you doing, man? Like, you can't look out for other people in prison. That's not how prison works. You keep your head down and you do your time. Otherwise, you're going to put a target on your back. But Travis talks with the one guard that didn't piss on him, who's almost at the breaking point himself of just being like, yeah, this isn't worth it.
I love that's how you describe him, the one guard that didn't piss on him.
And he's like, hey, man, I will give you some of my money after this if you could go in there and get this guy's insulin because he's about to die. So the guard does it, but Bear sees it through the security cameras and he's like, what the hell?
Yeah, what the fuck is this?
The guard, like, you can't disobey me like this. And working
Obviously.
undermine,
Obviously, the power is getting to somebody's head.
Because Barris is one of those quiet people. He's in his 40s, lived with his mother, never in his life had any modicum of power at all.
That's the Forest Whitaker character, by the way.
He was great in this movie, like he is in most movies, but
Yeah, you had to text me and go, you were like, oh man, Forest Whitaker is an outstanding actor. I was like, I know.
He's like, you guys don't need to undermine me. So Forrest Whitaker gives Travis's cellmate his insulin himself. It's like, I'm not gonna have this anymore. And basically after that, the five prison guards beat the shit out of the one prison guard. And they're like, this guy's going to be joining you guys.
And meanwhile, everybody is like, as all this stuff is kind of going on, they keep also showing like the security cameras, like, yo, is this not a fucking enough? Like, what's going on here?
Because they kicked the shit out of him and then made him a prisoner. And then Travis decides he's going to rebel again by taking his shirt off. And then when all the prisoners try to jump him, they somehow get all the prisoners spread out, put into separate locations away from each other. And Travis is thrown into this random, like, air chute thing. And he's just locked in there. And while he's in there, he sees a camera. He's like, hey, are you guys going to stop this? This is getting a little much. Where he's like freaking out about being in this claustrophobic spot, and he's also getting angry because it's not being stopped.
Yeah, because they were told that it would stop if anything gets out of hand. So it's like at this point, he's been Asian.
And at this point, when the whole skirt started, Barris got on top of Travis, was punching him, and the roommate with his cellmate with diabetes came up from behind and hit Barris. So he turns around smashes him his head in with a nightstick, straight up kills him.
Straight up murder. So now that we have actual death.
There's a dead body just laying there. And Travis gets so mad, he finally breaks out. And the first thing he sees is one of the other prison guards getting ready to rape one of the prisoners. So Travis beats the shit out of this prison guard, helps him out.
Yeah, shit's on now. Like, fucking,
Yeah.
it's pandemonium going on now.
He frees all the other prisoners, checks on his front, and realizes, yeah, he's dead. But all the prison guards hide in this one room. They break in, and these 20 prisoners start beating the shit out of the five prison guards.
Strength in numbers.
Yeah. And finally, the red light goes off. And the experiment stops, opens up the bay door, so they all just go sit outside and wait for the bus.
I guess
And
maybe
that
this.
happened on day 5, and which is
Was
supposed to be a 14-day experiment.
I guess he maybe he was maybe the security guard went on an extended lunch break.
I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, basically the moral of the story, people ain't shit.
Yeah, well, they all got their money, and the
But
doctor got charged with manslaughter for the death of the diabetic guy.
which I believe also happened in the actual experiment. I don't know if somebody died, but I know it was like
It got pretty extreme, yeah.
got pretty extreme. It was like you give some people a little bit of power and it corrupts.
Yeah. So that is the experiment.
I'm glad to have given you one that was on your list.
Yeah. I think they do a pretty good job in this movie. Like, I know it's not exactly like the Stanford Prison Experiment, but
They had to make it more intense, I guess, for an
yeah.
audience.
Yeah, it's definitely more intense. Yeah, I think they did a really good job with this movie, especially since it was direct to video.
Yeah, for what it is, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect a movie starring Forest Whitaker and Adrian Brody to go direct to video, but
What was the you got the year it came out?
2011,
I was gonna say I don't know if
2010.
it I was like I don't know if it came out during the year when I was still going to Blockbuster, but
Yeah, 2010.
I need to figure out when Blockbuster officially disbanded around here. That was a very solemn day.
So I want to say for technicals, I give it a 6.7.
Yeah,
Pretty standard, you
it
know.
was pretty competent.
Yeah, pretty confident. Facts aren't anything special. It's pretty decent for a direct-to-video movie. And the story, like I said, I really liked the story because I was interested in the Stanford Prison Experiment. So I enjoyed the story, but I didn't really enjoy the character of Travis.
Was he like unnecessarily like confrontational?
It's not that, it's just his character, and I think I just never really been a fan of Adrian Brody.
Nah, not really
Yeah,
your
and like his motivation, like doing this just to get money to go to India to meet up with the girl he just met. Yeah.
He'll have plenty to talk about when he gets there.
Yeah. So I'm give it a 7.4
Is that for a story
and
or?
then, for the story, yeah. And then enjoyment, like I could see myself rewatching this movie again.
It's
Because
definitely one of those if it's on, I'll watch it kind of movies.
yeah. So I think I'm also gonna give enjoyment a 7.4.
I think my homework has been a little bit better.
Yeah.
Definitely better than last season.
Yeah. That gives it a 21.5 out of 30. So,
Hey, I'll take that.
yeah, that's a pretty good score.
And all of this before we even get to the main movie.
The main event. All
We need to assign homework.
right.
I was thinking about this during when you were going through yours. Have you seen the movie Panic Room?
Yeah.
I was going to give you that one. I was going to say, sticking with Forrest Whitaker. I'll give you one that I haven't watched. It'll give me an excuse to watch it.
Right.
Unless you have already. Stop Motion.
I haven't seen it yet. I've been meaning to watch it, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to give you that since I've been meaning to watch it too. So that'll be your homework.
Okay.
Actually, unless I want to save those for, because usually homeworks are ones that I give you that I've seen.
Yeah.
So I'll save that one for a homework. Have you
Have
ever
you seen number 23?
the Jim Carrey movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. Have you seen Cry Wolf?
I have, yeah.
I haven't seen it in so many years, I forgot what I thought about it.
Have you seen Would You Rather?
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Because I knew two people in it. I
Yeah.
knew Jeffrey Combs, and I know the actress Sasha Grey. I imagine you have seen Hostel.
Yeah. Have you seen In the Tall Grass?
No.
All right, I'll give you that one.
Thank
It's a pretty good movie.
you. Have you seen Feast?
Peace?
Yeah.
No.
All right, and well, fuck it. You can have.
Okay.
That has one of the funny, but one of the worst deaths I can think of in regards to.
Okay.
All right, so you'll be watching Feast. Now, whether or not I'm giving you that one, not knowing if you're at all whether or not you're gonna like it. And did you say you got one for me?
Yeah, in the tall grass.
And in the tall grass. All right, so I'm gonna let you take the lead on this one since you, while I was on Zombie Island, you were celebrating Valentine's Day.
Yeah, so this movie, we are reviewing 2001 slasher Valentine, which a movie that kind of gave me a nightmare as a kid, mostly because the mask
The
is like
Valentine.
a creepy, stupid mask.
Dave was talking about this one, about how he's saying how this got him into his love of slashers because he said that he hasn't seen a slasher movie since Valentine that has topped it, if I'm not mistaken.
No. This is it's not great.
Dave, no, don't say that. Yeah, that's.
I mean, it's the first time I've seen this since I was a kid, but
And
what?
it's the reason why that's the reason why I never usually go back to to
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
hey, maybe why don't we talk about it? Maybe it's not that bad.
I mean, it has a really recognizable cast, though.
I call this movie Revenge of the Incel.
Yeah. But no, I mean the cast, you got Denise Richards,
Yep.
Marley Shelton, David Boreanaz, Katherine Heigl
They
was
make
in it for a little bit, yeah.
Sure that the audience knows that we paid for Denise Richards.
Yeah.
That they make sure let the audience know no matter what's happening in the movie, they stop the movie a lot of times to let you know we paying for Denise Richards.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about that in a little bit.
So this movie starts out at a middle school dance in the 80s.
I'm so happy I never went.
I went to mine.
I've seen these kind of movies. There's a reason why I never went.
But and it shows us like little geeky kid named Jeremy asking all these girls if
They
they
even
like to dance.
gave him a nerdy name too, Jeremy Milton.
Jeremy Milton, yeah. You know, most of them were pretty cool. I think one girl said, "I'd rather boil later."
Yeah, just unnecessarily mean.
Yeah.
He's going up to like four different girls saying, "Excuse me, would you like to dance?" And like basically say the equivalent of like, "Oh my God, I would rather shoot my own brains out
Yeah.
than I would rather like just being a, you could just say no.
And then one girl, Kate, she's like, no, maybe later.
Maybe later.
You know, she's nice about it.
Yeah, she was at least polite about it, and he was like, you could see that he smiled at the, he didn't, she didn't just straight up say no, it'll get away from me. She just said, maybe later.
Maybe later. And then the last girl he asks is kind of a
Dorothy.
Dorothy, a little bit more heavy set.
I wouldn't say,
But
I
yeah.
wouldn't even say fat, really. I mean, but just a little pudgy, but nothing like she's not obese.
But that's how they were portraying her.
Yeah.
And then her and Jeremy end up making out underneath the bleachers. And when some of the other guys from the school see this,
Ooh.
she claims that he attacked her. So they strip Jeremy down, dump punch on him, and then beat the hell out of him.
Man, Carrie just got a little bit of pig blood on her. This dude got stripped naked, called a pervert, and got his ass beat in front of everybody.
And after that, it jumps to
10 years later.
10 years later, where you see Katherine Heigl in med school getting ready for Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of. Well, I don't know. Well, I'll go into it in a little bit.
She's there all alone. She's on a date, and this guy is like King Douche of the Douches.
Yeah, this movie is the Black Christmas of Valentine's Day because it's like. All the dudes in this are either douchey or awkward or pervy.
Yeah. Like this guy is referring to himself in the third person. I think his name was like James or whatever.
God's gift to ladies is his mentality.
And he's like, I could see it. You want to mate with the James.
Just dialogue that nobody ever says.
Yeah. So the date ends and she goes back to her school to carve up a cadaver, study for a test or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. What is this place where you can just come in after hours with a body and just kind of?
I don't know. It's 2001, different time.
It was 2001. Security was very lax in 2001.
Yeah. And then
Famously not.
well, it was pre September 11th.
Well, there's your explanation. But before September 11th, you could just chop up a body in peace in your at your local university.
Yeah. She hears a noise, realizes it's another guy from his class. He's getting ready to leave. He's like, "You'll be fine here alone." And she's like, "Yeah, I'm just gonna do this real quick."
Just gonna chop up this body real quick.
Yeah. And she goes to make an incision on the body and sees that it's breathing. She jumps, sees the cadavers in the closet, and then she gets murdered.
I guess we're supposed to think that the body on the gurney was the murderer startling her.
Yeah.
So what, did he take off all his clothes and get up under the gurney?
Well, I got a theory once we get to the end.
Okay.
That might kind of explain this a little bit, but yeah, she's killed. Whatever.
Whatever. She was just there to show us that there's a killer on the loose.
Yeah. And then it goes to Paige and Kate, who are doing the speed dating.
Weird. They all the bitchy girls from the beginning all stayed friends and stayed in contact after 10
Yeah.
years.
Good for them. But Kate's dating this guy, but they're like, "Well, he is an alcoholic. What was his
So
name?"
fuck him.
Yeah.
Was it like Adam or something?
Something like that.
I think it was Adam.
Yeah, it was Adam. But they go through the speed dating thing, and basically all the guys there were awful.
Again, that's what I'm saying. Apparently, there are no regular dudes in this
Right.
universe. Oh, and Adam, that's his one character trait, by the way, is that he's a alcoholic who's like on the mend.
Yeah, he's trying to sober up.
That's
He's
like
the
all his
only like,
personality is.
yeah, and that makes him the only like normal guy in this movie.
Yeah, so they did the speed dating thing.
Yeah. And then at the funeral, the cops ask him about, who she was dating and everything, and they're like, "Well, we don't know."
Who could have possibly wanted to kill your friend?
Yeah.
She also got a card, didn't she?
Yeah, she gets a card. All the girls get cards like threatening them. Hers was like, "I'm gonna slit your throat." And
Well,
another girl got a card that's like, after the funeral, Dorothy gets a card that's like, "Roses are red, violets are blue. They're gonna need your teeth to identify you."
yeah, all four of these girls gotten like some threatening Valentine's Day cards with were they initialed all of them?
Initial JM.
JM.
And they're like, "Man, who's JM? We don't know any JMs." Yeah.
Oh, and the one of the girls even was sent a box of chocolate.
Yeah, Paige and Lily got sent a box of chocolates that had worms in them and stuff.
They spent a good like 2 minutes like being like, "Oh, it's yours. No, it's yours. Oh, no, it's..." I'd be like, "Good thing it wasn't sent to me, because I'd be like, oh, sugar, chocolate, oh, get mine, give me
Mine.
it." But they were filled with like maggots and shit, so that was cool.
And then Dorothy's boyfriend Campbell moves in with him, her, because he's basically a con man.
I gotta say, I don't care about any of these interrelationships
Yeah.
either. Like,
And they go to Lillian's fling like art exhibit, and they
yeah.
just spent the entire night shitting on his art.
Was that the I forgot how was he a speed dater dude? I forgot how or was he the con guy? Who was
No, con guy is with Dorothy.
He's with Dorothy. Who's douchey art
Lillian didn't
guy?
go speed dating. It was just one of her boyfriends or whatever
Okay.
that she just started dating, so she invited all her friends to his gallery to meet him.
What'd you think of the art show? Which it
It
wasn't
sucked.
really it was just flashy lights, pretty
Yeah,
much.
and the minute Lily's boyfriend meets Kate, he instantly starts hitting on her. And so Lily and Max get into her argument or whatever. She starts going through his little art maze where you see one of the art screens get pushed into her way so that she had no way out. And then
Somehow
she's
it just
shot
became,
by arrows.
yeah, somehow it just became a maze that only she was in.
Yeah, she got shot by arrows. And
I like that this guy, that this killer is just there.
then they all assume Lily went to LA for some reason.
Oh, Lily, always just up and moving to LA on a whim.
Yeah. Then you got Kate. She's like, "I don't know. I think someone's been in my apartment stealing my underwear." And the next day, you see the keep mask guy go into her apartment and catch her creepy neighbor stealing her underwear,
Kills him.
beats him with a hot iron.
All this was just like random. It's
Yeah.
like, okay,
Like, why is the iron plugged in when no one's supposed to be home?
But
But whatever.
no one's supposed to be home, and they showed her creepy neighbor before, like
Yeah.
hitting on her.
So he gets killed, and the next scene you see is Kate walking up to her apartment. Adam's at the front door for her. He's like, "Hey, They talk and decide they're going to Dorothy's Valentine's party together. And she walks into her apartment, hears a noise, and then almost smacks her front page with the iron she grabs.
Oh,
No sign of a body or anything, but somehow, yeah.
at this point, they had also gone down to the station
Yeah.
for.
And they're like, hey, yeah, JM might be Jeremy Melton. Do you have any information on him? And the cop's like, oh, yeah, because he attacked you. He was in juvie. And then a mental asylum, and his parents' house burnt down, and no one's seen him.
Yeah, the dude had a mental breakdown after well being accused of being a
Her,
sexual
yeah.
a pervert and gotten beaten within an inch of his life. So,
And you know, it wasn't easy on him in juvie when they're like, oh, you're in here for sexual assault.
the police are sitting there questioning all these ladies this, and Dorothy still sticks to the story of, yeah, he attacked me when I was a kid. But then after the police leave, she tells her friends, oh,
Yeah.
I was just being full of shit. So why do the police need to have pertinent information?
Right.
Like, they because they eliminated him as a suspect. No, like, what do you think? You're gonna get in trouble 10 years later? Like, tell them about how you did this to the dude and how that might be why he's a killer.
Exactly.
But what do the police need that information for?
Yeah.
Oh, and apparently the police are perverts too in this town.
Yeah, the police officer hits on a page played by Denise Richard.
Out of nowhere, like
Yeah.
they're at the station, and then he waits for them all to leave and says, "Wait, Richard's character Paige, and
Come here, let me talk to you.
let me holler at you for a second." And then puts his hand on her thigh. I'm like, really? What cartoon world are we in?
Yeah. And it wasn't even like a cop that was made to be like the same age as him. This is a fat, old, near the end of his career cop.
Yes,
Yeah.
but yeah. So that was just weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, they're back at the house,
Yeah.
and I think we're all caught up now. We saw the guy pervert sniffing panty sniffer dude.
Yeah. And then they find out Lily never went to LA, and they're like, what?
Yeah, that thing
Yeah.
that sounded like bullshit anyway, he didn't
Yeah.
happen. So they're getting ready to do another go to another Valentine's thing, right?
Yeah, Dorothy is from a very, very rich family, and they're throwing a very extravagant Valentine's Day party.
And she's rude to the help.
Yeah.
She's rude to her. To the maids that work in her apartment or in her mansion.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just wanted to say that. She was very rude to the maid lady.
Yeah. But yeah, so she's her and her boyfriend chilling out. She gives him a very nice watch. He gives her a necklace. And he's like, yeah, I gotta go do this business meeting or something or whatever. And while he's on the phone, seems like he's trying to drain money out of someone's account.
Yeah, you hear him
He's
saying, I
like,
want money moved from this account to this account.
yeah, why does it matter where it's born? She calls him over like the voice intercom in this big ass mansion. She's like, hey, we're out of hot water. Can you go light the pilot light on the water heater? And he's like, oh, great. Now I'm part of the help. I'm like, bro, you're living in a mansion for free.
Well, I
It's
mean,
just you.
he was there to just drain her account, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Which I love that he could just I love that he's doing these shady just having this shady phone call in the house.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't go to a payphone or anything, or go outside somewhere. He has this, I'm draining her account conversation in her own place.
Yeah, and Dorothy was warned at the art exhibit too about this because
X is there.
his ex came up. She's like, you stole all of my money, da da da. And he's like, no, she's crazy, full of shit, whatever. So he goes down there, fixes pilot light. Boom, ex is back. He's dead.
See ya.
Yeah, he's gone.
I don't even remember your name.
Nope. I think it's Campbell.
So, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So at the Valentine's party, Dorothy's like, oh, Campbell's supposed to be here. I don't know where he's at.
He probably stood me up.
Yeah. And then Campbell's ex shows up, berates Dorothy for wearing her necklace. She's like, that's my necklace. She's like, no, Campbell gave this to me. He's just like, yeah, because he stole it from me, or whatever. And then Paige and Kate were like, get the hell out of here, go. I guess they tried to kick her out of the party, but somehow she snuck back in. Now she's just creeping through this mansion.
It's such a big place. It doesn't look like there's any security or anything.
So she's in Dorothy's room and she gets murdered. She's dead.
Yeah, because then she like stumble across him moving a body.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And then Paige's scene, right?
Yeah, because Paige brought a guy from the speed dating to the party, and he's like, yeah, let me take you upstairs. He's like, I gotta show you something special.
Yeah,
I get
let me
upstairs, it's my penis.
That's what I'm saying. Who's writing these characters?
I don't know, but I'm like, Jesus Christ, bro. So she ties them up, blindfolds them, and then pours candle wax on his penis. Pretty funny, but yeah.
Haha, yeah.
Yeah, haha. So she goes back to the party lunch. She's like, I'm gonna cool off by hopping in the hot tub.
This is what I mean by saying that they stopped the movie to show that we got Denise Richards, because they'll big bump and party, they'll stop so she can so we can see her in a bikini and everything.
Yeah, like no one else is in the hot tub room at this giant ass party.
I mean, I ain't mad at you, movie. I mean, I know we know why you're doing it. I ain't mad at you.
Yeah, so
But it's pretty blatant.
while she's relaxing in the hot tub, the killer throws the cover over it and kind of locks her in the hot tub. And then he starts punching holes through the cover with a drill.
Now, he kills her in a way I didn't think he was going to.
Yeah.
Because I thought that he was making these holes and then he was going to fill it up with more stuff to kind of like drown her-ish.
Yeah.
But he drills all these holes and then he just takes the power drill that he's using and throws it in the water with her.
Yeah.
I thought it was leading up to something a little bit cooler than that. I was like, oh. It was like he went, why am I making this complicated? And he just threw it in the water and electrocutes her.
And then this is where Kate and Dorothy kind of have an argument where she's like, oh, I think it's Campbell. Well, what if it's Adam? Huh?
You're just both accusing each other's boyfriends of being the killer.
Yeah. And then the power at the party gets cut. Kate starts running, finds Adam, and she's like scared of him because he's acting super like sketchy too.
And for a bumping party, there's like nobody here.
Yeah. Well, she first finds him at the bar where she's like, oh, you're drinking again. He's like, just one drink or whatever. As the power cuts, he finds her and she starts running from him, runs outside,
Yeah,
finds him,
she acted like she
starts
just caught
inside of the
him.
pond.
She
Yeah.
acted like she just caught him cheating.
Yeah.
He was having like a beer.
And Adam's trying to get to her, and then she like kicks him in the nuts, right? Gets away.
Yeah, it's like a big chase that ensues where.
She gets away from him, and then she's away a little bit, and now Cupid Mask is chasing her.
Yeah, you're like thinking, oh, he's the killer, and then she runs into Valentine's Day Mask Man.
Yeah, as Valentine Mask Man's getting ready to kill her, Adam shoots the Cupid like 6 times.
Six times in this chest.
Yeah, pulls off the mask and reveals that it is Dorothy.
Random.
Yeah, and Kate's like, oh, I'm so sorry I accused you. And then they hug. His nose starts bleeding, basically to show you that, oh,
Wait,
this
no,
train.
I don't think we ever mentioned that the killer's nose.
Yeah, and then cuts to black.
So, Adam was Jeremy Milton this whole time.
Yeah, and I think him and Dorothy were working together the whole time.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I think he just killed Dorothy and I think it was just a lazy attempt to be like to throw the scent off of him.
I think they were working together.
Why?
You'd have no reason to kill Campbell. Like, I feel like she knew what he was doing, and
I mean,
she's actually the one that killed him.
he had no reason to kill that pervert panty sniffer either.
He's stealing his girlfriend's panties.
Yeah, but he's crazy. All right, so
Yeah, but why would Dorothy be in the mask chasing Kate, too?
she wouldn't. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that it was just it's a bad movie, and I think that it was just their lazy attempt to like throw. I think it was their thing for the audience at the time to be like, oh, it was really him. He's real. He's real. Oh, like that Dorothy just went crazy or something. Like, I think that it was not intentional for them to make you. I don't think they were working together.
Yeah. I think they were, but
To what? Wait, to what end?
I don't
Why
know.
would the person who embarrassed him the most work with him?
Maybe she was tired of, like, you could tell she always had self-esteem issues. She always felt like she was an ugly friend. Maybe she was the one who reached out to him, paid for his plastic surgery, brought him out there.
I don't. That's too. I don't see all that. But given the story that we do, oh, you said that you were gonna tell me something that would make something else make sense earlier.
No, that was my thing, is that I think they were working together.
What was the thing I asked you? Because I said they
Like in the
did.
beginning, how he so quickly went from naked into full get up.
Oh, that it was two people doing it.
Yeah.
I just think it was bad editing.
Probably, but trying to
Hey,
make it make sense.
I was about to say, hey man, if you're just trying, like, hey man, I'm just trying to make this make sense.
Yeah. Makes a lot more sense if it's two people killing everyone, all right?
And why are they doing it? 'Cause they're crazy.
Yeah, but that is Valentine.
And you said this used to give you nightmares?
Well, the first time I saw it gave me a nightmare when I was a kid. It was the first movie I remember giving me a nightmare.
Was it the you said it was the mask that creeped you
Yeah,
out?
not really the movie, just the mask, yeah.
I can understand.
All right, what is your kill of the movie?
I'll say the ex-girlfriend, because she got a slow, like, her last thing was that he basically like put her neck down onto a bunch of glass that sliced her throat up.
Yeah, there's not a lot of good kills in this movie. Probably go with the Denise Richards one.
I love that it felt like he was building up to some kind of big epic kill, and then he just throws the power drill inside the thing.
Okay.
All right, that'll work.
Sure. Get the job done.
No, this is what I was gonna say. I had texted you and said that I made movie connections in my mind, because the entire time I was watching this, I was like, you know, for some reason, only other movie that this reminds me of that I can think about is Urban Legend. I was like, they only, for some reason, I keep watching this, and like, I just keep comparing. It just has the same feel as Urban Legend.
I think they came out the same year too. It was like the second Urban Legend 2, right?
It's the same director.
Is it?
When
That
I
would
look,
make a lot of sense.
because it was literally the only movie that I kept comparing it to in my mind, in terms of like, all right, I'll get into it when as we break it down.
All right.
All right, technicals, what'd you give it?
I'm gonna give it a 5.2.
I gave it a 4.0. It was competent, but nothing. There were some nice shot, some tense scenes. Even if I said, even if the reason for some of them might not have been all that cool. Like, there are some cool, like the scene in the maze of the art thing. I like it as a shot, but there's no reason for it to be like that. In terms of like, what is this art exhibit? That's, you know what I mean? But it's nothing special, but nothing awful. So I gave it a four.
All right. For story, it's a bad story. Doesn't
It's
really make a lot of sense.
no.
I'm giving a 3.7.
I gave it a 3.5. It's easy enough to follow. It's just not interesting.
No.
It's and some of the kills, like, this movie feels like it is a, I think I put, I've never had a movie, a rated R movie, try so hard to be a PG-13 movie. Like, this is a rated R movie. You should, not only do they not really cuss a lot, really, which you don't necessarily need, but if you're in college, I expect you cursing. And there's not really a lot of blood or gore or anything like that for a slasher.
Enjoyment, I'm gonna give it a 4.1.
I gave it a 3.8.
3.8.
I say a lot of the acting in this too was.
Yes, too. But I'd probably sit down and watch it if it's on,
Yeah, and all of these are the same issues that I had with Urban Legends when we were watching it, but it wasn't annoyingly bad. We've watched annoyingly bad. This was not annoyingly bad. Like, annoyingly bad, I still would say, is something like Soul Survivor, where it was just boring. Or Hanako, where none of the characters were likable.
So my total is 13 out of 30. Yours is 11.3 out of 30, for an average of 12.15 out of 30.
And that's still generous, considering that.
It's kind of generous right there.
Do you want to read out some bad reviews? Or you want.
I got it. Let me just bring it up.
So here, what's some of the worst reviews? That's it's it was just hilarious that I thought Urban Legends when I was watching it by the same guy, and I'm like, yeah, because it just ha it feels like Urban Legend,
So it got 11% on the tomato meter, 33% on the audience.
which is about what we gave it. We gave it about a 30-ish, like probably 40.
All right. So Mike Massey from Gone with the Twins. The frequent jump scares and the various women spontaneously finding themselves in ill-lit, isolated locations proved to be the only middling creative thing about it. And okay.
Fair.
Matt Brunson from Film Frenzy. There's a final twist that doesn't make sense on any of about a th 10,000 levels.
That's what I was saying. Like, it doesn't make sense. That whole it's Dorothy thing. No, but he's the killer. It doesn't make any sense.
All right.
I'm also just go ahead and say, when it came to my enjoyment, this movie didn't give me anybody to root for.
It really doesn't know.
Because you could have your mean girls, whatever, but who am I supposed to root for?
I guess you're supposed to root for Kate.
The one who said maybe. But even her, I don't really, even her, I don't really care. But it's like, you have this guy who's picking off these mean girls, but even nowadays, these mean girls aren't that cool or
They're
nice,
kind of silly.
so why would I care?
Stephanie Archer from A Film Inquiry. While Valentine strives to reach the height of the slasher genre, it unfortunately falls flat, drawing little intensity from its characters, stories, or murder. That is a good thing.
Makes it even less sense. I mean, It would make sense if it was two killers, but because so he in the span of that one night during the party, he killed like three people and a police officer.
Yeah. So Tim Brayton from Antigone and Ecstasy, a singular, direct, and unchallenging example of the latter-day slasher film, made to a template that is starting to show its age every bit up 20 years before the movie premiered. Okay.
This movie just falls into a long list of just kind of like whatever movies. I'm not angry about it.
Helen McKay, Common Sense Media, says, "Poorly made and just stupid."
Kinda.
Yeah. Felix Vasquez Jr. from Cinema Crazed, a bland whodunit slasher film starring a bunch of 90s relics.
Well, I'm a 90s relic, so that
Yeah.
kind of hurts.
Right.
But
Yeah.
that was Valentine. That was the earliest slasher you can remember watching as a kid.
It's not the earliest one, but it's one of them I watched as a kid.
You know what falls in line with that for me? Well, it's not my favorite, but I just watched a lot of it because I think I had a PSP in middle school.
Yeah.
So I watched Cursed a lot.
Nice.
All right, so I kind of wanted to do another season. This will be my final one, wouldn't it? My final season of.
It might be, yeah.
All right. And this one is the season of giving.
Okay.
Tis the season of giving, and I am going to give Dave a gift by we're going to review a movie that I know we've been saying we wanted to review, that I know he likes, and we're going to review See No Evil.
Okay.
So that is my gift to you. Season of Giving is a movie that I know Dave likes, and so he
Yeah.
won't have to use up a he won't have to use up one of his turns. We're going to review one of his guilty pleasures.
Yeah, it's definitely a guilty pleasure. I understand it's a bad movie, but I enjoy it. All right.
It might be one that I have fond memories of it because I remember going to go see that with my dad in the theater
Yeah.
because we were both Kane fans.
Yeah.
So that'll be our next movie review as my gift to Dave.
All right. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you all still listening. All right. Have a good week, everybody.
See ya. Hey everybody, thanks for listening to Body Bag Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe and leave us a comment as to what you'd like to hear us review or any horror movie topics you'd like to hear us rant and rave about.
And while you're at it, you can find us on Twitter at Body Bag Pod and on Instagram at Body Bag Podcast.
Thanks, and we'll see you next time.